Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. That's tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
2020, a year that we all want to forget. But despite that, Singapore attracted about $17.2 billion in fixed asset investments for last year, despite weathering its worst recession since independence as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic.
And you know what? This actually beat the Economic Development Board's, or EDB's, medium to long-term target of $8 billion Sing dollars to $10 billion Sing dollars. And it also exceeded 2019's haul of $15.2 billion in fixed asset investments.
Yeah, certainly the most sizable since 2008, when the EDB pulled in more than $18 billion.
It's amazing. According to EDB's Year in Review report, which was released yesterday, last year's commitments were bolstered by large capital investments in the electronics, chemicals and research, as well as development sectors.
So let's talk about 2020 and what the global outlook for 2021 is with Gillian Lim, Executive Vice President, Singapore Economic Development Board. Good morning, Gillian.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for speaking with us. Of course, EDB, the lead agency that plans and executes economic and industrial development strategies for Singapore. So we talked earlier about how 2020 was a challenging year for businesses. Could you give us a quick overview of EDB for 2020?
Firstly, thanks for having me. Very happy to be here this morning. Well, 2020 was definitely a challenging year. In EDB, we were working closely with companies, troubleshooting with them all kinds of issues related to the pandemic on the ground. And we focused on jobs, enabling safe restart for businesses, and also, I think, a lot of emphasis on reskilling and upskilling initiatives for our workforce. In terms of the figures that you see from our year-end review, overall 2020 investments secured came in line with our medium-term goals, despite the challenging business environment. And in fact, you know, in certain areas like fixed asset investments, we had exceeded target. We did see some projects and investment decisions being delayed, which is not unexpected considering the implications of the pandemic. Nonetheless, number of projects, we didn't really see a notable drop for 2020 compared to 2019. And that is reflective of, you know, a number of major projects that we have already established quite late stage discussions and decisions on in 2019 leading on to 2020. Well, I'll just mention that I think we had a good mix of projects in manufacturing, but also in, you know, headquarters and hub services projects, as well as definitely in the area of innovation. And you've seen the results for semiconductors. I think those are the areas where, and energy and chemicals, where companies committed to large manufacturing investments. But also, I think many projects in the HQ hubs and innovation area where they are here, they are establishing their investments here to address the growth in Asia as well as Southeast Asia, to be closer to their customer base.
Okay, so as you're sort of outlining, even with the pandemic, EDB still managed to secure $13 billion Sing dollars worth of fixed asset investment commitments just in the first 4 months of last year. I mean, my question is this. We were all grappling with just doing business as normal. How did you manage to keep all of these commitments on track?
I think firstly, the region itself, Asia, provides growth prospects for global companies. Companies are still looking for growth, and many companies are taking a long-term view to their investments in Asia. And I think Singapore is well placed to capture the opportunities from the growth in the region around us. I think I'll cite an example. BASF is one of the companies that actually decided last year to put their regional production hub in Singapore to target the agricultural markets around us. And, you know, they found the capabilities to actually execute that project in Singapore. And that is where they've, you know, found the ability to produce, I think, products that they can actually market to the region and the world. The second thing I'd mention is actually, you know, I think Singapore comes from a place where we do have many years of building our strong fundamentals. We have always emphasized a very strong connectivity to the region as well as the rest of the world. I think in terms of our trade links, our transport links, we have always emphasized investments into our talent pool, making sure that companies are able to find good people for their operations. And therefore, I think for companies that put investments in Singapore, they have some level of assurance that they're able to ramp up their operations well, and also investing to make their supply chains more resilient. I think lastly, I'd mention, you know, I think all these come from the fact that I think we do have an installed base of companies that have established in Singapore for many years, and relationships which and partnerships which we've built with them over the years. I think they have been paying close attention to how Singapore has been handling the COVID situation as well. And perhaps I think how we've tackled the situation and then our initiatives to make sure that businesses are able to continue to operate with the safety measures perhaps has also grown quite a bit of confidence and increased the trust between us and the companies.
Yeah, and it really illustrates how these investments obviously go a long way in job creations as well. We are on the line with Gillian Lim, Executive Vice President, Singapore Economic Development Board. Gillian, we're going to move into the sort of outlook phase of this conversation. But before that, at the end of last year, I believe on 30th December or 31st December, you had the Trade and Industry Minister, Chanchan Singh, speaking at ADB Society's 30th anniversary commemoration. Now, he highlighted two things. Right, which is crucial for the next stage of economic development. One is that Singapore has to rally people to action by being upfront about challenges, continuously guarding against complacency, and developing a nation of people and businesses who are not afraid of global competition but seek to thrive it. Second, very quickly, it must manage the long-term challenge of wage disparity by equipping people with skills for the future, enabling them to compete globally, and having a collective social conscience where those who have succeeded help those who have not. Given everything that you've achieved in 2020, are you on track to meet these two challenges that Minister Chan has set out?
Yes, I think those are really two critical tasks at hand. Mm. We do maintain a cautious optimism about the economy for this year amid ongoing uncertainties.
Okay.
The first thing we will need to do is actually redouble our efforts to engage companies to make sure that, you know, we are in the running for all the good business and job opportunities that we need to anchor for Singapore and the Singaporeans. We do need to pay a lot of close attention to listen to our partners, to the companies, to understand the difficulties they are going through, as well as, you know, what kind of changes they need to make to their businesses going ahead.
Okay.
And how we can play a part in that.
Mm.
I think the other thing is, of course, continuing efforts to actually refresh and transform our existing industry base.
Yeah.
Yes, one of the efforts is digitalization, for example, factory floors to industry 4.0 transformation efforts.
Yeah.
That will actually bring about better productivity, and you know, also actually create new job opportunities for Singapore and Singaporeans. I think last but not least, I think working alongside companies, industry players, as well as other government agencies to ensure that the Singaporeans can actually be matched to the jobs that are created, can benefit from, you know, the jobs that were created from the investments anchored here. So I think a lot of training, placement activities, I think ADB will place that as a priority, working with sister agencies like WSG, for example.
Yeah, but for this, it takes three hands to clap.
Yes.
In that sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Just on that Industry 4.0, Gillian, I mean, obviously, this is a really important area, isn't it, moving forward? And, you know, Singapore wants to be up there, as from what I understand, in terms of being part of that ecosystem system that sets global standards as well. How far along or how optimistic are you about that rollout, given all the uncertainties in the world?
Interestingly, I think we've been working with WEF to actually establish our Smart Industry Readiness Index, which is actually a form of benchmarking for the progress in Industry 4.0 efforts for companies. We are actually working with WEF to establish this SIRI benchmark as a global benchmark that we hope will benefit, companies across the world as they think about how to go about actually transforming their factory floors. I think then the other part of the effort is, of course, definitely working with the service providers, you know, the advisory firms and all that, to actually work alongside companies to enable that. And in Singapore, I think we are having quite good traction on this effort already. One of the examples of companies that has embarked on this is actually a local company called Meiban. They they have been looking into transformation into I 4.0. You know, they expect their productivity level to actually be increased because, you know, they are using digital technology and so on to enable a lot more communication across, you know, the factory floor, a lot more data analytics that will enable them to actually transform how their operations altogether. So at the same time, I think that also means that we do need to have engineers, people with technical skills to actually enable that for the companies. And that is where we're also placing a lot of training efforts in.
Yeah, you've got to have the human capital to do the work when you have these big ambitions. Speaking of ambitions, what are we looking at in terms of the outlook for 2021? First of all, the global outlook, because Singapore may be an island, but it is very much interconnected with the global economic ecosystem.
Yeah, definitely so. Well, we expect global economic recovery to remain uneven, I think, for different geographies and sectors. Companies will take also longer time to make investment decisions simply because they are actually relooking, you know, what's the business context with the pandemic situation, as well as, I think, some of the trade relations across countries. On a positive note, I think companies are taking, generally, we find that companies do take a long-term view, and they do continue to see Singapore as an attractive business location for that due to our fundamentals as well as the potential of the region. But overall, we expect 2021 to continue to be challenging because companies will remain cautious. With the vaccines roll out, perhaps the sentiments will be more optimistic towards the journey to recovery. But we also actually are expecting a few bright spots for Singapore. Firstly, I think Singapore is a good place for innovation. Over the years, we've made a lot of big push into innovation and there is momentum. But more recently, we've also, in addition to anchoring R&D and innovation centers, we started working with more companies on corporate venturing to incubate, test and launch new businesses from Singapore. As well as, I think we're also starting to see quite a lot of exciting startups or projects in new areas. For example, a German startup in indoor farming has decided to set up their global R&D center in Singapore. This company is Endeavor. To reduce energy and increase yields for indoor farming. And actually, also, they found value in collaboration with our research institutes and with ASTAR. I think the second opportunity area for Singapore will come from, you know, Singapore being a place for digital products for the region. And, you know, that's well understood. I think you've seen quite a number of tech companies investing here, as well as the opportunities coming from, you know, digitalization of our industries and the industries in the region. And underlying all these are the closely related emphasis on the needs in Asia being a large consumption market. So at the same time, a lot of uncertain environment, but at the same time, we do see a lot of opportunities. And also, I think challenges, we do need to make sure that as a country, we continue to focus on remaining quite open and welcoming to foreign investments, because competition is actually very keen out there.
Okay, so in summary, Gillian, this one, sorry, we got no time. Yes or no question, can we expect better investment numbers for the year?
We are cautiously optimistic about that.
I tried. Okay, Gillian, but I appreciate you stepping up to that challenge. Gillian Lim, Executive Vice President, Singapore Economic Development Board, on the line with us. Thank you so much for your time. Take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
If your air conditioning or furnace stops working in the middle of the night, on a weekend or over a holiday, there's no reason to wait to get it fixed. Because Atlas Butler's always open and we never charge any overtime or after-hours fees.
The Atlas Butler family is here to keep your family safe and comfortable. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.